You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. Today is Thursday, March 15th, 2018, and I'm your host, Luke Shahan. You can find me on Twitter at Lucas Shahan, and you can read my articles at ClipsNation.com, as well as follow along on Twitter at ClipsNationSBN. So today, first of all, happy holidays, everyone. Today is the best day of the year, or one of the two best days of the year, I should say. It is one of the days of the round of 64 of the NCAA tournament, which means that from about an hour and a half ago to about 11 hours from now, I suppose, there are 16 great college basketball games to kick off the NCAA tournament. Tomorrow there will be 16 more, so I get to do nothing all day but watch basketball. So this is great. This makes me very happy, and I do this every year for the first couple days, especially, you know, later on in the tournament, there might be like four games in a day, and you know that maybe there's two of them that you really want to watch, and you can budget that. But right now, there's 16 games in the day. There's like four on at once. We've got every TV in the house pulled out into the living room, streaming on Chromecast, plugging in the laptop with HDMI so we can watch all the games at once. It's fantastic. And, you know, happy holidays, guys. I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I do. And I'm ducking away from it for a little bit now to bring you a podcast, but let's see how quickly we can get through our topics for today so that I can get back to hopefully watching Rhode Island finish this upset against, or I guess it's not an upset because they're the higher seed, but they're still a smaller program. Hopefully I can get back to finishing seeing Rhode Island beat Oklahoma. And if they lose, then I guess you will all know to laugh at me on Twitter since I don't know how that game ends when I'm recording this podcast. So what we're going to do today in terms of this podcast is take a look at the Clippers' upcoming schedule now that they've kind of taken care of business like they needed to in the soft first half of March. And then we'll do our, you know, routine look around the NBA at recent results, current standings, upcoming games, that kind of deal. So Clippers get the win Tuesday night against the Chicago Bulls. It's a little closer than it should have been, but a win is a win. They beat them by 6 points. They go, you know, it's a road win. You take it, right? They didn't shoot great from deep, so I think you're happy to win any game that you shoot 8 of 29 from deep, especially for a team that is so reliant on their offense and not very good on defense like the Clippers are. DeAndre, I think, was phenomenal. 29 points, 18 rebounds, 5 assists. That's like one of his best lines ever, probably. 29-18 and 5 assists. Lou Williams, just 6 of 15 from the field, but he did get to the line a lot. He was 13 of 14 from the free throw line, so he ended up with 26 points on 15 shots, which is pretty efficient despite the 40% field goal shooting. Tobias had 18, Austin had 12 and 6 assists. Thornwell had only 3 points, kind of continuing that starting role that he'd been in, but his plus-minus was a plus 19 in 30 minutes. So that means, in, you know, they win the game by 6. You guys are probably used to hearing me, you know, put together this kind of basic arithmetic that if he's plus 19 in 30 minutes, then the Clippers, who won by 6 points, lost by 13 in the 18 minutes that Thornwell sat. So 30 minutes with Thornwell on the floor, Clippers win by 19. 18 minutes with Thornwell off the floor, Clippers lose by 13. That's pretty significant. You know, that means he's having an impact. He's playing well. Montrez had 10 points in 11 minutes, just like casually point per minute kind of production that he's been bringing routinely lately. And so this win brings the Clippers to 5-1. In their last 6 games, their first 6 games, the 2 weeks of that begin March, and this is where I thought they needed to be. This is where I said they needed to be coming out of the All-Star break, coming into March, that they needed to go 5-1 in these 6 games. Now, 6-0 would have been nice, but basically they had the 4 games against lottery teams. They won all 4 of those like they needed to. There were a couple scares, but they took care of it. And the tough games against New Orleans and Cleveland, they split, which is exactly, you know, how I kind of was hoping that this stretch would go. Now, I don't want to claim it was like a amazing prediction because I think it was a relatively easy prediction, but I think they're on par, and the par is very, it's like an elite par to be competing with this group in the Western Conference. So they got through this stretch. They took care of business when they needed to. Now they're going to need to scrap to survive and get wins in a really, really difficult stretch closing March. So it starts tonight in Houston. All that is a road game against the team with the best record in the NBA. And then the second game is only second night of a back-to-back, traveling from Houston to Oklahoma City to play against Russell Westbrook, Paul George, and the Thunder, in Oklahoma City. So, like, two road games against two very good teams on a back-to-back, you know, normal stuff, right? Like, one of the most difficult back-to-backs in the NBA this season. The Clippers just happen to have tonight and tomorrow night. So, I think those are two probable losses. Like, I think the most likely outcome is that you go 0-2. I think if you can go 1-1 in this back-to-back, that would be phenomenal. It would be tough, but I would consider taking it a little easier, maybe packing it in a little bit early against the Rockets tonight if Houston jumps out on you, so that the Clippers can focus more on the Oklahoma City game tomorrow. Because from the Clippers' perspective, one, you know, as long as you win one of these games, I think you're golden, right? Like, you would love to get 1-1 in this stretch. And Oklahoma City, first of all, is the more winnable game, and second of all, is the team that you'd rather give a loss to, because Oklahoma City is right there with the Clippers in the standings, where Houston has, you know, they might get passed by Golden State for the number one seed, but Houston is pretty clearly top two. They're definitely not in the range of the Clippers or the rest of the pack. So those are the first two of the 10 games left for the Clippers in March. The rest, in order, versus Portland, in Minnesota, in Milwaukee back-to-back, in Indiana, in Toronto, versus Milwaukee, in Phoenix back-to-back, in Portland. So all put together with the Houston-OKC pairing, they have 10 games in the next 16 days, including today. Eight of those games are on the road. There's three pairs of back-to-backs, so six of the 10 games are part of back-to-backs, and nine of those 10 games are against playoff teams. So, frankly, if you go 500 in this stretch, you're happy. Now, is that good enough in the Western Conference playoff race? Maybe, maybe not. Depends what other teams do, frankly. But going 500 would be tough. It would mean winning some tricky games, because if we assume that they take both losses in this first back-to-back, then you have to go 5-3 in the next eight. So let's just say two games against Milwaukee, you split those. Two games against Portland, you split those. You probably lose the game in Toronto with how well Toronto is playing. So at that point, you're 2-5 in those games. The last three games are in Indiana, in Minnesota, in Phoenix. Phoenix is a game they have to win. Minnesota without Jimmy Butler is a winnable game. Indiana is a beatable team. So 5-5, I think, is obtainable here, but it's tough. Like, still, that win in Minnesota is going to be a tough one to get. Splitting against Milwaukee, splitting against Portland is two tough wins. Now, they could pull off an upset in one of the other games, like a game against Toronto. Maybe they beat Portland both times, something like that. But I think 5-5 is kind of has to be the benchmark, the goal. How 5-1 was last time and 6-0 would have been great. I think 5-5 has to be the goal here. And then there's a little bit of a softer landing in April, with still a handful of important head-to-head games coming up in that stretch in April. So if the Clippers can survive here in the next 16 days and put themselves in a position to be competitive in the last couple weeks of the season, I think they'll have a chance to play themselves in. But the biggest thing, I think, is avoiding like a 2-8 stretch in this 10-game or a 3-7 stretch, both of which I think are really possible. Like, those are really plausible outcomes. 2-8, 3-7 tanks the season. You're done. You're not coming back from that at this point. 4-6, if you close the season really strong, maybe. But I think 5-5 is where, if you're gonna try to hit that 46 win benchmark, which is where I've been saying I think you probably need to be targeting if you want to get in, then I think you probably need to go 5-5 in this stretch. So next, we're going to do our normal look around the NBA, see what's happened in recent results and some other games, the games that are coming up tonight, and take a look at the standings and, of course, the Detroit Pick Watch. So we talked last time on Tuesday. That was our last show. So we're going to review the results from Tuesday and Wednesday. On Tuesday, there's, like, of course, the insane Western Conference playoff race. Every team is in action, and almost every team won. The Clippers beat the Bulls. The Wolves beat the Wizards. The Thunder beat the Atlanta Hawks. The Pelicans beat the Hornets, which kind of hurt the Clippers doubly, because you would like for the Hornets to win games to try to pass the Pistons in the Eastern Conference. The Spurs beat the Orlando Magic. The Utah Jazz beat the Detroit Pistons, which, you know, I think we would have rather Utah won that game, but an extra loss to Detroit helps a little bit. And then, in a game that really went the Clippers' way, the Lakers beat the Denver Nuggets. So, obviously, right now, Clippers fans should be rooting for the Lakers. We want the Lakers to pass the Detroit Pistons so that that Detroit pick is one slot higher. Right now, they're very close to each other in terms of record, so every Lakers win matters, every Pistons loss matters, and it's a loss to the Nuggets, which is one of those teams that the Clippers are competing with for playoff positioning. On Wednesday, the only really relevant game is that the Warriors beat the Lakers because, of course, the Golden State Warriors, who seem like they're losing to every Western Conference contender under the sun, like every team that the Clippers would like the Warriors to beat. You know, the Clippers really want a team like Minnesota to lose, and you go into that game and you say, man, well, Minnesota's playing the Warriors tonight, so Minnesota's going to pick up a loss, that's great. And then, of course, Golden State is dropping games to these teams left and right. But when you want the Lakers to be able to beat the Warriors to help that Detroit pick watch, of course the Warriors handle their business against the Lakers, because that just is the Warriors being jerks, and they suck, and we hate them. So, that's that. Now, tonight's games in the Western Conference, the Clippers are playing against the Houston Rockets, as we discussed, a really, really difficult game for the Clippers. In the Eastern Conference, the Charlotte Hornets are playing the Atlanta Hawks. That's a really winnable game for Charlotte. It's a game they obviously should win, so hopefully Charlotte can pick up a win there. The New Orleans Pelicans are playing the San Antonio Spurs. Someone's got to lose, which is good news for the Clippers. The Detroit Pistons are playing the Denver Nuggets. Kind of helps the Clippers either way. If Detroit hands Denver a loss, I'll be more than happy with that. But if the Nuggets just keep chugging along like every team in the Western Conference has been doing lately and they beat the Pistons, then helps the Detroit picks. So again, Pelicans versus Spurs, there's going to be a good result for the Clippers. Pistons versus Nuggets, there's going to be a good result for the Clippers either way. Then the last two games with Western Conference contenders are the Utah Jazz against the Phoenix Suns. Obviously a game the Jazz should win, especially with how they're playing lately. Although I would welcome Utah taking any kind of loss. And the Portland Trailblazers are hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers. So this game, I think, maybe matters the least of these Western Conference games. Portland, and we'll talk about, you know, Portland's situation in a little bit. Obviously, a loss for Portland is good, but I don't see it mattering as much as like rooting against teams like San Antonio, New Orleans, Denver, Utah, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, those other teams. So the reason for that, let's transition a little bit into a standings update. So let's talk about the Western Conference standings. Right now, Detroit has 26 losses, which insulates them a little bit from the rest of the group. And as we head down the back stretch of the season, Detroit has played 67 games. That means they have 15 games left. So what are the odds that the Clippers, who are three losses back from Detroit right now, outplay Portland by three games in the last 15? I would say the odds of that happening are relatively slim. So someone may pass Portland. They may not end up in the third seed. They could drop to four or five or maybe six. But the odds of it really mattering in terms of the Clippers, especially with how difficult the Clippers' schedule is, which makes them unlikely to be that team that jumps way up in the standings, I think kind of means that you can eliminate Portland from, you know, maybe Portland loses three or four games in a row. Right now they're on a 10-game winning streak, which is why they've been able to create this gap. But if Portland loses three or four games in a row, they're right back in it with everyone else. But for now, we've been talking for a long time about the eight teams from 3 to 10 fighting for six spots. I think now I'm ready to tentatively, temporarily change the conversation to seven teams from 4 through 10 fighting for five spots. I think Portland has done enough to feel like they can breathe easily a little bit. And, you know, maybe if they slip up, they drop back into that race. We said that, you know, just a month ago we were talking about San Antonio is a little bit safe and they're not really in this race. And now San Antonio is in ninth place on the outside looking in. They were in 10th place a couple days ago when we talked. So certainly far from final, but I'm kind of ready to place Portland just above the rest of the group. I don't think they're significantly better, like if, you know, in a playoff series or just in general, but I think that they've just won the right games at the right time, stayed healthy for most of the season, which a lot of the teams in this race haven't done. And with where it is, just standings-wise, just from an arithmetic standpoint, I think they're a little bit safer. Not that I think they're necessarily better than these other teams. Two games behind them, New Orleans has 28 losses. Oklahoma City, Minnesota, the Clippers all have 29 losses. Utah and San Antonio each have 30. And then Denver, after dropping that game to the Lakers on Tuesday, sits at 31 losses in 10th place. So these teams just like refuse to lose. Like everyone in this stretch is winning. I mean, San Antonio is 3-7 in their last 10, but other than that, Minnesota 5-5, Denver 5-5, the Clippers are 7-3, Oklahoma City 7-3, Utah's 8-2, New Orleans is 8-2, Portland is 10-0. The last 10 games, just everyone's firing on all cylinders. Everyone has won their most recent game except for Denver with that loss to the Lakers, and Denver is now in 10th place. But Utah, the 8th seed, has 7 straight wins. Like, they're breathing down the necks of the Clippers, who you would think, normally being in the 7th seed and going 7-3 in your last 10 games and winning 3 games in a row, should have a little bit of breathing room. But Utah's won 7 in a row, and they're 8-2 in their last 10. And right above you, Minnesota has even found a way to win a couple games, even with all of their injuries. So, or not all of their injuries, but without Jimmy Butler, you'd be expecting them to slide a little more so than they have, I think. I expected them to drop a little more steeply than they have. So they've hung on a little better than I thought as well. So everyone in the West has been stellar lately. I mean, this has just been a phenomenal month of intense basketball from these teams, really, really bringing it, and we're just seeing it reflected in the standings, winning games. Like, I really think it is going to come down to 46 wins to make the playoffs, just because all of these teams know what they're fighting for right now and have been playing at such a high level and will continue to play at that high level. So honestly, even going 5-5 in these next 10 games, kind of flipping back to the upcoming schedule for the Clippers, even going 5-5 might kill them. You know, picking up 5 losses in the next 2 weeks, I don't know if, like, Utah and San Antonio, who have 30 losses, do they pick up 4 in the next 2 weeks to tie them with the Clippers at 34 losses? Does Denver pick up 3 in the next 2 weeks? I mean, everyone's playing so well. Are Minnesota and Oklahoma City going to lose 5 more games even at all? Forget about in the next 2 weeks. So the West is brutal, man. And I think it's just the kind of thing where shutting out all the noise, looking at the schedule, you set 5-5 as a realistic goal. But it's possible that when you bring it all back in, that doesn't put you high enough. So that's why we do these check-ins on what's going on in the standings and what all these upcoming games are and the recent results, because it matters immensely in terms of, you may really need that extra game. You may need to go 6-4, even though that's a really steep, really high bar to set for yourself. You might need it to make the playoffs in the Western Conference this year. All right, so last thing we're going to do, just a little bit of the Detroit pick watch. Right now, Miami in the 18th in the Eastern Conference has 33 losses. They have 13 games left. Detroit has 37 losses. 4 losses, 13 games left. Kind of how I said, I don't think Portland is really in play for the Clippers with 3 losses and 15 games left. Well, 4 losses and 13 games left, with Detroit being much worse than the Clippers. Just in terms of, the Detroit is under 500 and they're 2-8 in their last 10, so it's not like they're really on a roll and going to take advantage of any game Miami might happen to lose. So I think that race is essentially done. Obviously, it's not mathematically done, so there's a chance, right? But that's really it's kind of wrapped up at this point. I think I'm no longer concerned about whether Detroit makes it or misses it. I'm far more focused on where that pick is going to be with them missing it. As we discussed, teams 9-10 in the Western Conference are certainly going to finish with a better record than the Pistons, which means that pick will be at least 12. Right now, the Pistons and the Lakers have the same amount of losses. The Lakers have 1 more win. So technically, the Lakers sit in the 12 pick slot. The Pistons sit in the 11 pick slot, although obviously they're very close and that's a very fluid situation. And then the Hornets right now have 2 more losses than Detroit and 1 fewer win. So there's a little bit of a buffer there, a game and a half. Certainly not anything that can't be overcome in the last month of the season. But probably right now the Clippers look like they'll end up, I think, with the 11th pick. But there's still a shot at getting up there to 10th. And then, of course, the Detroit Pistons are very, very much so hoping that they win the draft lottery, because if they win the draft lottery and jump into the top 3, then they will keep their own draft pick and the Clippers will get their pick next season. And, I mean, that would just be a big team-building asset for them, as opposed to giving the 10th pick to the Clippers, keeping the first, second, or third pick for themselves would be, kind of a big deal. So, I mean, if Charlotte can beat Atlanta tonight and Detroit loses to Denver, then that would put these teams within one loss and half a game of each other, fighting between 10th and 11th picks. But it would also kind of hurt the Clippers for the Nuggets to win the game, whereas if the Pistons beat the Nuggets, it doesn't necessarily help the draft pick hunt. But the Nuggets right now are two games back of the Clippers. It would be really nice to put another nail in that coffin. You know, I kind of said we've shrunk from 8 teams fighting for 6 spots to 7 teams fighting for 5 spots. It would be really nice if Denver or San Antonio, if one of these teams can continue sliding and really dropping out and really drop out, and if that team is not the Clippers, then it would be very nice for it to become a 6 teams fighting for 5 spots kind of situation instead of a 7 teams fighting for 5 spots situation. So if someone can die off in the back of the Western Conference race, that would kind of be a breath of fresh air for everyone else, I think, because then the odds of making it just significantly increase. For all we know, the Clippers might be that team that does that. Obviously, hopefully it doesn't happen, but with the difficult schedule coming up, I'm sure there are some teams out there thinking that the Clippers are the ones who are going to drop off. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I have some college basketball to go watch, but thank you guys, of course, for listening. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or feedback, hit me up on Twitter at LucasJhan. Email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. Make sure you're reading the Clips Nation blog at clipsnation.com and following along on Twitter at ClipsNationSBN. This is Lucas Han signing off for Locked On Clippers.